The word that the Lord has given to me to bring to us today is no different from what He's given to me to share with us in the past. But it's important to hear once again. I may be using different passages of Scripture, but the point is still the same. And I want you to take this seriously and be mindful of what the Lord is saying to us today. The Lord has been speaking a prophetic word to my spirit. Normally, when the prophetic word comes, it comes most times just like that. It's an instant. But this was different. This was different because the Lord was talking to me about it and saying things to me about it. I said, Lord, this is not normally how you will speak to me when you want to speak prophetically. And what you're saying to me right now is so heavy. And how do I communicate this? And strangely enough, that's where He's starting me out from. I even didn't put it in my notes at all. So I'm going to start from a place that I really don't really want to start from, but I have to be obedient to the Lord. If you live and you're in New York State, I want you, if you are a believer, to begin to seriously intercede begin to cry out to God. And what even spurred it even more for me this morning was the passage of Scripture that Mama read from. Because difficult days, because of pride and arrogance and the thinking that you can function without God, and the negating and the separation of God from the answers that you need, will bring about greater problems than you have ever imagined. So serious that if it doesn't stop, New York will cease to be the capital city of finance. Things are going to shift away from New York because of arrogance coming from the top. I want believers, not just in New York, to begin to cry out to God concerning this matter, because the Lord is not happy with some of the things happening in that city. I don't know all that is happening. I don't live in New York. I've visited it now and then. But this is not how I wanted to start the message today. But I have to say it. There is a shaking that is coming that is going to be tedious, because some, well, some fool, and that's what I'm hearing in the spirit, some fool is acting up. And that is not good. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and do it now. Or it's not going to be funny. My heart breaks concerning this, because God loves people. He's not willing that anyone perish, but that all come to repentance. Things don't have to get worse. Don't take God out of your equation. You do that to your own detriment. Oh, I better get out of that. I think I've said enough. Now let's get to the word. In the book of 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, actually, let me start out from 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. The message that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart to bring to us is about being steadfast in faith and continuing in the Word of God. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." God's Word says, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding, always doing the necessary thing. For as much as you know that your labor in God is not in vain. Now I want to speak to every one of us today that it is not about starting right. It's about finishing right. And you cannot finish right if you don't continue. And God's call to every one of us is to make sure that we don't become lukewarm in our walk of faith. Because he says, I hate lukewarmness. I will spit it out of my mouth. Don't generate or create an atmosphere around you that will establish any kind of lukewarmness. What is lukewarmness? Lukewarmness happens when you're mixing that which is hot with that which is cold. You cannot have a mixture. In your walk of faith, you have to make a decision on what side you are going to be. Are you going to be on God's side or on the side of the world? If you're going to be on God's side, stay on God's side. Continue on God's side. Die there. Don't swing around One day you are with God, another day you are with the world. That will not serve you right. God says, be steadfast. Be steadfast in your walk of faith. Be steadfast in your labor of faith. Be steadfast. Whatever you know that God has called you to do that is right, keep on doing it. If you know it is praising God, if you know thanksgiving and praise is good to the Lord, keep on doing it. If you know that living an honorable life, honoring God, honoring your neighbor, honoring yourself is the right thing to do, keep on doing it. That means that no circumstance should move you away from doing that which is right. Circumstances should not stop you from praising God, from worshiping Him. Circumstances should not stop you from giving to God. If you know that that's the right thing to do, that you become a covenant person with God through sacrifice, keep on doing it. It doesn't matter where you are. Keep on doing what you know you should do. Be steadfast in it. Be committed to it. Yes, you may be listening to this message online at home. Well, if you know that if you were right here in church, you will listen to the whole message and you will not be moving around cooking and sipping some tea or whatever and distracting yourself, don't do that now. Let this time be the time that you are here or where you are. Be there as if you were right here, because right here or right there, you are in the presence of God. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Keep on doing the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in God is not in vain. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Come with me there. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Second Chronicles, chapter 16, beginning to read from verse 1. It says, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. So this is the king of Israel, whose name is Baasha. And Baasha simply means wicked. It means to be a stinker. It means to be offensive. That's the meaning of his name. So here comes Baasha, who is wicked, a stinker, an offensive person. He comes against Asa. And he builds a city called Ramah. Now, Ramah simply means a hill. And his purpose was to besiege Asa and Judah so that nothing comes in and nothing goes out. Basically, a lockdown to shut them down. And so this was where the situation was. Asa, that name is an interesting name because it has two meanings to it. It means to be a healer, but on the flip side, it means to be an injurious person, somebody who injures, or an injured person, a hurt person. So you have a name, and there are many, many, many names like that in the Word of God. And when I see a name that has both sides, a good and a bad side, I wonder, what is the person going to choose? Are they going to choose the good, or are they going to choose the bad? So here's Asa. He's the king of Judah. He's been besieged. Things are shut down because an offensive, stinking, wicked person had come against him and built a hill. And so the Bible goes on in verse 2. It says, then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord. He took what belonged to God. And what does he do with it? He gives it to a king of Syria called Ben-Hadad. Why is he doing that? Because he wants Ben-Hadad, the Syrian, to come fight for him against the king of Israel. Interesting. He takes the silver and gold, which were treasures in the house of God. He takes that which belonged to God. He takes that which belonged to God and gave it to Ben-Hadad. Wow. I wonder sometimes when we are in a crisis state, what we do. Do we take that which belongs to God and hand it over by alliance to somebody else to come fight for us? Ben-Hadad. Ben, son. Hadad, is simply false gods. So, son of false gods. Are you with me? He takes that which is of God, the treasures of God, and gives it to a false god. What are we doing with what God has given to us? The treasures of God. Are you taking that which God has given, that which God has for himself, that which is meant for God, and are you taking it and handing it to false gods and expecting the false gods to be your answer? That's what he did. You apply those truths in your own personal life and consider what we're talking about here. Verse 3. He says, there's a league between me and thee. We've got an alliance. As there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha. So here, Ben-Hadad has an alliance with Baasha, the king of Israel, and the king of Israel is attacking Judah, and this guy over here, Asa, is applying pressure by taking the treasures of God and giving it to the son of false god, Ben-Hadad, to break alliance with Israel. Good plan. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. That was the plan. That was the strategy. The question is, did it work? Absolutely, it worked like peanut butter and jam. Verse 4. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ijon. Ijon means a ruin. So it's already a ruin. It's already a mess. They smote Ijon and they smote Dan. And Dan and they smote Abelmem. My tongue is not rolling too well this morning. Abelmem and all the store cities of Naphtali. All the store cities. All the store cities, meaning all the merchant cities, all the business centers of Naphtali. They went and they cleaned all of that out. Verse 5. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of Ramah, which is the hill, and let his work cease. He stopped. So it worked. The plan worked. You take the treasures of the house of God and you give it to the false son of the false god, and it goes against Israel, and they stop what they were doing, and you're no longer attacked. You should be at peace. You should be happy. Verse 6. It says, then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah. Ramah means the hill, and the timber thereof wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Gibeah means hill. So he takes hill stuff and he builds another hill. But not only did he build Geba, he builds Mizpah. Mizpah means a watchtower. When you take the things of the devil, it doesn't matter which name you call it, it still is the same. It's still the same. After he'd done all of that, built his hill, Geba or Gibeah, and Mizpah, which is the watchtower. The Bible says in verse 7, and at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, the false god, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. In other words, your capacity to defeat the false god is now escaped. You cannot defeat him anymore. What was the intent of God? God wanted Judah to defeat not only Baasha, the stinker, the wicked one, the offensive one. He wanted to also defeat Ben-Hadad of Syria. He says, now he's escaped from you. You see, when things happen, we don't have the point of view of God. When things are happening around you and I, we must seek the mind of God concerning the matter. Because it's not always a straight line. Sometimes God wants to get this done over here and you are busy making alliance with it. And God says, I wanted Ben-Hadad defeated. But because you chose not to answer your name as a healer, you have embraced injury. Are you with me? It says he's escaped. Verse 8. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, because you relied on me, I delivered them into your hand. Why did you change? I've always been there for you. When you had bigger problems than this, I was there to help you. Why did you turn? Oh, does he repent? Oh, no. Verse 8. For the eyes of the Lord, listen. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. God's eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth. Now, there's a devil who's busy doing the same thing. Second, whom he's going to destroy. But God is going to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong, to show his power in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. When you have issues, and we have issues right now in the world, and God is saying, where are you going to place your trust? Are you going to place your trust in man-made knowledge? Or are you going to place your trust in me? When your heart is perfect towards God, the Bible tells us perfected love will cast out fear. He says, I'm looking for them whose hearts are strong towards me. Herein thou hast done foolishly. You place your faith in science, human knowledge, your faith in your acumen, your smarts, your faith in your algorithms, your faith in whatever you have faith and belief on. God says, in doing so, you've done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have what? Wars. Henceforth, you're going to have wars because you placed your faith in a false god. Henceforth, you're going to have wars. You're going to have battle after battle after battle after battle after battle. And I believe that's why God sent me today to warn New York. Placing your faith in the arm of flesh will create more problems for you. Change! Stop it! There's a God who still forgives if we repent. I say that to every government, in every country. Yes, God uses science, and yes, God uses our minds. When we acknowledge God, God directs us and God will infuse us with understanding on what we need to do. But first and foremost, the Word of God says, seek first God and His righteousness. Then every other thing, every other solution you're looking for will be brought to you, be added to you. But you place your ability or your faith in your ability. You place your faith in what you think you know. You create bigger problems. The Lord says, henceforth thou shalt have wars. That means one problem after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other, until you are snowed under with issues, snowed under with problems that you cannot solve until it bankrupts you. How much are you going to take from the house of God? And who else are you going to go find to help you when man doesn't have the answer? The Lord warned weeks ago. He said, the people that do not learn from all of these experiences that we're going through right now and seek the face of God, but rely on their ability, will be brought down. And that includes you, child of God. If you turn and start to place your faith in natural things, you only invite to yourself bigger problems. My faith is not in society distancing or sanitizations or mask or whatever. Oh, I wear it, but my faith is not in that. I wash my hands and I should. But my faith is not in that. I'll keep my space from you, but my faith is not in that. And I'm not here to talk about all the reasons why not. My faith is in the Word of God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. My faith is in Him who guides me and keeps me and protects me and provides for me. My faith is in God. Listen, child of God, I know I'm going to be stepping on your toes. But listen, don't place your faith in the government providing for you. Governments will get broke. If you place your faith there, you have no chance. Place your faith in God who opens the windows of heaven and pours out His blessings upon you. Place your faith in God who provides manna and quail. Place your faith in God who brings water out of rocks. Place your faith in God who can cause oil to come out of rocks. Place your faith in God who can cause light to be in the Goshen and darkness is in Egypt. Place your faith in God who heals you. Place your faith in the right place. Oh, the government is giving money and you're going to be the first person on the line. Really? That's your provision? Oh, I got a check from the government. Oh, until they check you out and find out maybe you didn't deserve it. You have to pay with interest. It's free money. If you got some free money, thank God for it. But don't place your faith there. Because free money is not going to come every month. But there's a God who can favor you. There's a God who is your helper in the time of trouble. That's where your faith needs to be. Because if your faith is in what man can do for you, you got something called, henceforth thou shalt have wars. Oh, when you hear a word like that, you should repent. Oh, but that's not what he does. Verse 10. Then Asa was wroth with the seer. He was wroth with Hananiah and put him in prison house. Jailed him. How dare you? Do you know who you're talking to? I am King Asa. And you come in here mouthing off to me and telling me this nonsense? Put the man in jail. So they threw him in jail. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time because there were people who agreed. Now all those people, you are the enemies of the state. You're the enemies of the state. I did the right thing. Didn't the war stop? Tell me, did the war stop or not? Did the king of Israel leave? Did the stinker leave? Did the generator of offense leave? Did the wicked one leave or not? Sure, he left. Okay, so what are you talking about? Well, all we want is a solution. I provided you the solution. There's all kinds of solutions, man. There's all kinds of solutions. But what is the cost of your solution? What is it going to cost you? The answers that you are tugging at that seem to be working, how long is that going to work for you? Where have you placed your faith? Is your faith in God or in man? I said some time back, you know what? They said, it was weeks back, you allowed 50 people. You know, I go to the grocery store and I see people line up. They line up until somebody comes out of that place and then the next person goes in. What stops us from saying, you know what? I'm going to be in the house of the Lord. After the first 50 finish, we are going to come in. Even if we watch the video inside the house of God, we are going to be in there. Or the pastor is going to preach to us. Or another pastor will come and preach to us. But we are not leaving. They said 50 only at a time. Did they say 50 for the whole day? No, nobody said anything like that. Oh, that's a good, only 50. I don't have to go. I'll watch it online. Is that the new normal that you want to buy into? Say, Pastor, you're getting on my case. Clap for yourself. Where is your linkage point? And are you breaking that link? How are you connected? Are you staying connected? He oppressed them. Those who stood for something, he oppressed them. And the enemy will seek to oppress those who are standing for righteousness, standing for truth, finding ways to attack them, to tear them down. And he was doing it. And was succeeding, so he thought. Verse 11. And behold, the acts of Acts are first and last. That's interesting. First and last. Beginning to the end. Lord, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. They are written in the book of the kings of Judah and written in the books of the kings of Israel. 12, watch this. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. He had a sickness in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. It started and became great. The preparation of the gospel of peace, that is part of our system. When you allow the enemy to come in there and you begin to shift alliance, even though you think you're not, you got an issue. How consistent are you with the things of God? There are going to be believers right now, as I'm talking to you right now, that are not faithful in their commitment to the things of God, in their worship, in their praise, in their giving, and something bad happens to them, and they go and open their big mouth and blame God. But they've not shown any consistency. They've taken that which belonged to God and give it to toilet roll. Let me buy some toilet paper. God's money, toilet paper. You will clean that behind until it's not cleanable. Don't do that. It doesn't matter where you are. Stay faithful to God. Continue with the things of God. Prove your faith by your walk, by your talk, by your lifestyle. Everything about you, pursuing after the things of God. Obeying the instruction of the Lord. As a church, we're not here to just receive. We're here to give. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, in a time like this, when people are wherever it is that they are, in their homes, It can be challenging, and you can think, oh well, well finances are going to be tough. You know what I said? And I continue to say, these are the best days for Glory and Peace Church. So when God says, I want you to go and give so much, buy stuff and give it away, I do exactly that. We need the money, but you're buying stuff and giving it away. Because there's somebody out there that doesn't know that God can provide for them. You know, about 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, Mama came to me and said, you know, I had a dream. And in this dream, we're in a food bank. Remember this dream? A food bank, and I'm saying, what are we doing in the food bank? It says, there's stuff that were hidden that nobody else was seeing, and I was pointing to them and saying, you take this, you take that, you take this, you take that. I said, food bank. I didn't know, neither did she or any of us know at the time. I guess this must have been in January, early January, before we knew about all of this virus stuff coming up, that food banks are going to be needed. And I've spoken to us, when you go out there and you're buying stuff for yourself, buy something more than you need to give away. I found out some places don't even have food bank containers. I had to look for a place that had food bank containers, you know, so I can fill it up. Just go and just buy and fill it up, so that you can empty it and somebody has a chance to go fill up. Because somebody needs it. Amen? Somebody needs it. And you and I can trust God because we know that God is our source. That's why you do it. You give in hard times and in good times. It doesn't matter what the time. There's no time that you are not positioned to honor God with your giving. Honor God with your worship. Honor God with your adoration. But here is this guy. It's not convenient. He didn't hear the convenient word that made him feel, you know, goosebumps. And so he's persecuting the priest and he's sick to his feet and he's going to die that way. He says, yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord. That's the problem. Even though now he's sick, he still did not seek the Lord, but what did he do? But to the physicians. He had created a new pattern. Instead of pursuing after God, he's pursuing after Ben-Hadad. Instead of pursuing after God, he's pursuing after the doctors. Science. That's going to be my solution. Really? What got you away from the ways of doing things the God way to doing it the ways of the flesh? How did you get there? You must ask yourself that question. Because somewhere, you made a choice on whether you're going to be a conduit of healing or a conduit of injury. Where you're going to allow yourself to operate in the divine health of God or operate in the state of being injured and hurt. And so many people are making wrong choices. Making wrong choices. You have a choice. I have a choice. What am I going to choose? Good or bad? What's your choice? Still did not seek after the Lord, but to the physicians. 13. Watch this. Like this. 13, but especially 14, because it nails it. It says, and Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. 40 is a key number. 40 is a number that says that you have overcome and crossed over the days of your trial, the days of your temptation, the days of your defeat, the days of your struggle. He comes to the 41 year, the year that he should have said, I have come into my inheritance. And that's when he lost it. He died on his 41st year of reigning. Verse 14. Watch this. This is so amazing. And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in. He built his own sepulchres, not just one, many. Can you see? Can you see? A sepulchre is a place of death. That's your burial place. He built many burial places. That means he has become too many people in one body. That means he's lost his mind. Are you with me? He built it for himself in the city of David and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors and diverse kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art. Oh, he's smelling good. But he's dead, 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 and still stinking. And they made a very great burning for him. You know, Jews don't burn. They put you in a sepulchre or in a tomb or whatever. The flesh comes out and stuff like that, and they take your bones and they put it in a small box, right? They burnt him. They cremated him. After he lied down on his nice bed. So you understand what's happening here? His feet are so stinking, it stunk all over. See, the Bible says it became very great. Exceeding great. It was the smell, and it didn't matter how much perfume. It didn't matter. He was a stinking mess. Stinking why? Because he'd embraced to defeat the stinker, the wicked one, the offensive one, by using false gods. When you try to solve your problem using false gods, the problem that you try to solve comes upon you. He never defeated Baasha. He never defeated him. Baasha was never defeated because the spirit of Baasha came on him. We must be steadfast in faith. We cannot afford to limit God. Limiting God. I know you did this, but I don't know if you can do this. That's a lie from the depths of hell. You must shun that spirit. It is not a spirit that should cling to you in any way, shape, or form. The Word of God says in John chapter 8 and verse 31, the Gospel of John chapter 8 and verse 31. It tells us about the fact that when we continue in God's word, then are we disciples indeed. If you take a hold of God's word, continuing it, he says, that's how you become my disciple for real. It's not how you started. Jesus said to the people that were there, see it? Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. They believed on him. If you continue my word, if you continue to believe, If you continue to hold fast to my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And verse 32 says, you're going to do this. Then are you going to know the truth? Then are you going to know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Because you continue my word. If you don't continue my word, there's no truth that's going to set you free. In chapter 15, John chapter 15 and verse 9, hear the word of the Lord. It says, as the Father had loved me, as he's loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Continue in my love. The Father loves me, and I have loved you. Continue to believe, abide on this very truth that I love you. Be perfected in that love. And that perfect love will cast out every fear. And when you cast out fear, you don't choose another solution. You don't make wrong choices. Fear causes us to make wrong choices. When you are not embracing fear, but embracing the faith of God, you continue in the love of God. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, the Lord says something to us that's of utmost importance here. In Luke 9, in verse 62, it says, Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. If you have put your hand on the plow and then you start looking back for whatever the reasons, there's a bang over there, what happened? And you lose your focus. He says, you're not fit. You're not fit for the kingdom of God. God wants you and I to be steadfast in faith, focused, unmovable, not allowing any kind of distraction. Elijah says, if you see me being taken up, then you can have the power. Then you can have the double portion of my spirit. And here comes this chariot. Plumped right between Elijah and Elisha. But Elisha will not allow even a chariot, a fiery chariot that came from God, even that to distract him. Focus on Elijah. Elijah had been pushing him away. Don't come with me, stay here. The prophet told him, stay there. Stay in Gilgal. Stay in Bethel, the house of God. Stay in Jericho, the fragrant place. But he stuck with him. Others came and said, did you know your boss is going to die today? 50 prophets from the school of the prophet. Did you know the old man is going to die today? So I'm still sticking with him. But he said, dead ministry. I'm sticking with that. Listen, we've got the new thing. We are the up and coming. Look at us, 50 of us. That's Jubilee. Huh? That's Pentecost. Huh? That's harvest. Huh? Yes, is. You might have all the stuff, the lights, the sounds, the biggest choir, the biggest whatever. You may have all this stuff, but I'm sticking with the old man. Okay? I'm sticking with him. But the old man is telling you, stay there and stay there. Join them, join them. No, 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 no. I'm sticking with you, man. There's something you got that I want. What do you want? I want a double portion of your spirit. I want to be twice the man that you are. But if I'm going to be twice the man that you are, I got to have you. When the distraction came, focus, like a laser beam. And when Elisha is caught up by the whirlwind, not by the chariot, by the whirlwind, taken up by the whirlwind, not by the chariot, my father, you're the armies of Israel. You, one man, you're it. Mantle comes down. Takes the mantle. Strikes the water of the Jordan. Nothing happened. Strikes it. Nothing happened. I guess I don't have it. No, he was steadfast. Where is the God of Elijah? Pow! Shoot! Steadfastness, even when it looks like nothing is happening, you stick with the program. Stick with it. You don't go this way or that way. Stick with it. You know, so many opportunities through the years, so many, you know, that will want this ministry to come to this city, you know, to pastor or work there. Or, no, no, that's not what God said. Until God says differently, I am sticking with his program. I don't care how nice and how flashy it is, I'm sticking with the program of God. I stick with it. Hallelujah. You stick with it. You continue. You don't put your hand on a plow and start looking this way or that way. What is happening over there? He says, you're not fit for the kingdom. I can't use that. Can't use that. Oh, but everybody likes me. I got nice perfume. And no, you're still dead. Still dead. And during this time, you and I need to be determined and focused in our walk of faith like never before. You may not like what I'm saying right now, but I could care less about whether you like it or not. The important thing is that I share the truth with you. And don't tell me about your solutions. But what I'm doing is working. Yeah. It worked for Asa. He allied himself with Ben-Hadad, the son of the false gods. And it worked. The wicked one, the stinker, the offensive one was pushed back. It worked. But at what cost? You can shortchange yourself, shut down your destiny by the very fact that you made wrong decisions. And if you don't repent, you'll die that way and not live a fulfilled life. Psalm 78. Psalm 78 and verse 41. I want to look at some things real quickly. There's so much more that I need to share with you, but I think I'm going to begin to wrap it up here, and maybe I can continue tonight. Psalm 78, verse 41. Bible says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited the Holy One of Israel. In Mark chapter 6, and I believe it's either verse 5 or 15, it talks about how Jesus was not able to do many miracles in Bethlehem. Or in Bethlehem or Nazareth, one of those. In his own hometown. He said, and he could do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. That's the only time. Why? Because they did not have faith in him. Because they did not honor him. Is this not the son of Mary? Come on. They did not honor him. He could not do many miracles there, except for a few. Every other place, he healed them all. He healed them all. It didn't matter how big the problem was, he solved it. But right here, he could not. And he marveled, he was shocked because of their unbelief. He went round about the villages teaching. Are we limiting God? Psalm 78, 41 again. Israel limited God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited him. They hindered him because of their unbelief. They turned back. 42. They remembered not his hand. Just like Asa. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. God said, didn't I deliver you from the hand of the Ethiopians? The Cushites? Didn't I deliver you from the hands of the Lubims? By the way, the word Lubims means empty-hearted. Didn't I deliver you from the empty-hearted people? That great army that didn't believe nothing. Didn't I deliver you? And here in Psalm 78, he's saying, they remembered not his hand. Many times I reflect on the things God has done in the past. Because in remembering those things, I remind myself again that if God did it then, and he's not changed, he'll do it again, and he'll do it again, and he'll do it again, and he'll do it again. And believe me, child of God, I've seen God do again and again and again and again and again. And sometimes the biggest, greatest provisions were when my pocket was empty and I got the biggest results. And if you if you looked from the outside, you will not know that my pocket was empty. How did he get that? How did he buy that? Faith, believing, trusting, and at the time that I needed it, on the day that I needed it, I had the money. But if you ask me about it yesterday, I did not have the money. But I was telling you that today I'm going to have the money. Why? Because I believe that God, who did it before, can still do it today because he gave me the desire of my heart. He placed this desire in here and he's not about to disappoint me. And he stays faithful. Hallelujah. 43. How he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. 44. And had turned their rivers into blood and their floods that they could not drink. And on, they forgot all of that. They forgot it. They kept on forgetting. May the Lord cause us not to forget the things that he's done for us. You see, the cost of forgetting is losing out. Let me just fast forward to verse 65 of Psalm 78. 65 going to 68. 65. It says, then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep. And what he's saying here is about how because of their insolence, their rebellious mindset, their unbelief, God gave them into captivity. Even his glory, he allowed to be exiled out of the land. He says, but then God awakened himself as man out of sleep. Then the Lord awaked us as one out of sleep, and like a mighty man that shouted by reason of wine. God says, enough is enough. Okay, I'm going to do something here. 6. And he smote his enemies in the hinder parts. He put them to a perpetual reproach. But this is where I want you to see. It says, moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph. He refused the tabernacle of Joseph. Joseph is the son of promise. Joseph means Jehovah has added. That's what his name means. Joseph had been faithful, but there was no continuity. He says, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim. Ephraim is the one that received the greater blessing. He chose not the tribe of Ephraim. So what did he do? He chose somebody else. But chose the tribe of Judah. Huh? The Mount of Zion, which he loved. So Judah was not the first choice. Joseph and Ephraim. Yeah, God switched off. Yeah, he does. God does. Anybody tells you that God doesn't make switches? Think again. If you don't stay steadfast, God can switch on you. He chose instead the tribe of Judah. Let me show you something. When Psalm 78. You see, remember what we talked about earlier about choices, names having double meanings. Remember that? Okay. Now watch it again. Because right there in verse 67 is this statement. God chose not the tribe of Ephraim. The name Ephraim taught you over and over again means double fruitfulness, or it means a heap of ashes. That's a name. You choose. Are you going to experience double fruitfulness, or you're going to be burnt out, a heap of ashes. Choose. Ephraim, at the time of war, when it was equipped to be able to fight, took off. Instead of standing its ground, being steadfast, pulled back. And God doesn't want anything to do with people who pull back. If you're a person who pulls back, you don't stay steadfast in faith. Whoops. But you see, this is a time of supernatural grace. Because in our faithfulness in continuing in God, God also has a greater plan and a greater purpose for his sons and his daughters. Take me to verse 68, and I'm going to speed forward to verse 71 and 72. 68, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount of Zion, which he loved. And he built his sanctuary like high places, like the earth, which he had established forever. 70, he chose David also, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. He took him from where? The sheepfolds. And guess what? In the sheepfold, he was steadfast in faith, so that when the lion came and tried to take care of the sheep, or the bear came and tried to mess around with the sheep, he killed them. He shut them down. And so therefore, he was able to say, just like I did to that bear and to that sheep, Goliath, you too, you're coming down. Amen? You're mounting off on God. And you're coming down today. I am a representative of the Most High God, and you are going to have your head off your shoulders. Glory be to God. He chose David, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. Watch this. From following you, Uz, I think that's how you pronounce that word, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. That's elevation. That's promotion. Verse 72. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart. That's the key thing. The integrity of his heart. He received this promotion because God saw integrity. And guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Hallelujah. He guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. He led them. He fed them according to the integrity of his heart. How do you feed God's people? How do I feed God's people? Minister of God, how do you feed God's people? You're feeding them based on the integrity of your heart. There's elevation in God. Hallelujah. I'll say it again. There is elevation in God. When you choose correctly, choose double fruitfulness and not double ashes. When you choose healing, not injury and hurt, what do you choose? You don't know what they did to me. What do you choose? Do you choose offense or love? What do you choose? Because that's going to determine where you get to. You know, sometimes, you know, in my natural personality of being nice, I want to do certain things and the Lord says, no, you're not doing that. Lord, I would like to call this person. The Lord says, No, you're not doing that. Lord, I would like to give this. No, you're not. But God, what will people say? I don't care what people say. You're not. Because God has to flush out what's inside of you to see whether you will continue. Are you going to continue in faith in spite of right or wrong? Or are you going to take an offense and not continue and pretend that you are still in faith? Because there's a place of pretending that you're still in faith. And God says, Esau, I hate. Can you imagine? Because Esau's spirit defiles. Esau is about what I can get right now. What solves my problem right now? If you are living in the world of what solutions you can get right now, you will sell your soul. I don't know when it is going to be, but it's not too far from us. One of these days, you're going to decide on whether you're going to take the mark of the beast and live, or refuse the mark of the beast and truly live. You're going to decide. If you cannot decide in what you do right now because of COVID-19 or corona, well, if you choose the crown of corona over the crown of the King of Kings, you know where your battle is. Because both are kings. Corona is a crown. Or you take the crown of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and you worship him. You bow down to King Corona or King Jesus. If you can bow and stay bowing at the throne of the King Jesus and you think Corona is what you're going to bow down to, hooray. You don't just change. You have to learn consistency. You don't start learning consistency at the time of battle. You're going to run. That's what you're going to do. So make a choice. Psalm 78 and verse 7. Verse 12, rather. Oh, 7. 7. Verse 7. I'm going to make 3 key points and then we'll wrap it up. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. The point here is this: don't forget the works of God. Keep his commandments. His commandment is a commandment of love. Verse 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. That's what they were. 9. The children of Ephraim, that's them again, being, present tense, continuous, armed, and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle when they were needed. They turned back. Are you turning back at the time that you most needed? You giving up the time that you most needed? They turned back. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law. in His word. 11. And forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. And 12. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. They forgot all of that. What were they asking? Verse 19. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God do this? We know He brought us out of Egypt and all of that, but can God furnish a table in the wilderness? There's no malt here. Look at all. I've been in this country for so long, I've never seen malls closed. The malls are closed. You can't go there. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God give us new clothes even though the malls are closed? And because, child of God, there comes a time when you cannot buy or sell. Huh? And how are you going to furnish or feed or drive? Do you understand the implications of this? No, it's not going to happen right away. But it's eventually going to happen. I told you, Corona is not a big deal. There's another one coming. And when that one comes, you are going to be, you know, they're talking about everybody getting vaccinated now. Okay, this is not it. People are going to resist it. But it's going to come the one that you got to get this. If you don't get it, no license for you. That means you cannot drive. That means you cannot travel. And that's when some pastor is going to say, I'm an evangelist. I'm a preacher of the gospel. I got to go to Africa. I got to go to the Philippines. Give me the mark so I can go and preach. Lying devils, let God transport you to wherever you need to go. He's done it before. He can zoom you from here to there. You can be transported by the power of the living God. If you need to be anywhere, just like the resurrected Jesus just showed up. He went through walls like there weren't any walls there. You've got the resurrection power of God operating inside of you. Take no marks. Don't lie to yourself. God can furnish a table in the wilderness. You can have your own hydro without the hydro man. Glory be to God. You serve an awesome God. He's consistent. He will never leave you nor forsake you. If you stay with Him, He stays with you. If you leave Him, He still stays with you, waiting for you to repent. But if you don't repent, you die that same way without Him. 20. Behold, He smote the rock, that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people? That's what they were asking. 21. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. God got angry. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. Wow. 22. Because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation. All these were written as an example for us. Amen? 35. Deception of the heart. He says, they remembered that God was their rock. They remembered that God was their rock and the high God and the high God their Redeemer. 36. Nevertheless, they did flatter Him. They did what? flatter him with their mouth and they lied unto him with their tongues. In other words, oh yeah, well, praise the Lord. Oh yes, I remember what God did before. Hallelujah. But God says they were lying. It was not from the core of their being. And there are so many people in the body of Christ today who are lying to God. They are flattering God with their mouth. Their hands are up and they are shouting hallelujah and they are singing amazing songs, but they lie with their tongues. Deceptive in their worship because it's not deep. It is not the core of their person. Nevertheless, that's what they did. For their heart was not right with him. Neither were they what? Steadfast. Neither were they steadfast in his covenant. You steadfast? Well, I plead the blood. I shout hallelujah and all of that is good. Have you ever asked yourself this question? What is it about the blood of Jesus Christ or the blood on the doorpost that causes the destroyer to go past? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What is it? I plead the blood. I apply the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. What is it about the blood that makes the difference? The thing about the blood that makes the difference is this, that the blood signifies that judgment has already taken place. The blood signifies that judgment has already taken place. But the blood of Jesus Christ means this to you and for me. It means that the judgment that was due me because I wasn't worthy, that price has been paid. And so therefore, because the price has been paid, the destroyer goes past. That's the only difference. That he has taken the curse, that he has taken my sickness and my disease, he has taken my pain, and therefore, if the blood is applied and the enemy comes and says, oh, well, the sickness has already gone through there, the defeat has already gone through there, but the thing is, Jesus took all of that, and I'm shielded behind all of that, protected from the sickness and the disease and the pain and the sorrow and the shame and the confusion, because Jesus, his blood, says, you don't need to come here. There's nothing here for you to come take. Judgment has been passed already. Okay, let's not waste our time. Let's go to the next one, the one that doesn't have the signature that judgment has been applied already. God will judge sin. But when the blood is applied, it states that the judgment for sin has already been applied. That's why you and I went to hell already. We died with him. We were buried with him. And if he went to hell, we went to hell with him. I don't need to go back. Because the blood is applied. The Lord says to say that to you right now. Stay steadfast in his covenant. Walking in love, but not with a Mickey Mouse, wishy-washy, not true to the core. Because you can, we read it, you can be opening your mouth and saying all the nice things and not be true in your heart, not have a right heart with God. And God says, don't do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I trust that something that's been said today caught your attention. And child of God, if you're listening to me right now and you know that You've made wrong choices and you need those choices corrected. You have the opportunity right now to correct it. Don't lie to yourself if there is an area in your life right now that you need to address. Address it right now. God is willing to forgive us, every one of us, all of our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's already paid the price for it, past, present, and future. Yes, he has. But if you don't operate in true love for God, then you are disqualifying yourself. God chose Joseph. God chose Ephraim. But because there was no continuation, he switched off to Judah, which is praise. Interesting enough, Judah was not the coolest, nicest guy when you go to the beginning of his story, but somehow he made a flip. God will work with people. You may be a prostitute, you may be a thief, you may be a liar, you may be a Confucianist, you may be whatever it is that you are, a total mess. But right now, if you make a change and cry out to God, God will respond to you, and God will heal you, and God will deliver you, and God will show himself true and strong towards you. But if you saying, well, I started right, I'm okay, and you mess up, and you don't change, well, then you're lost. Just like Asa. Then you'll be lost. That's not your portion today. So I want to encourage you, if you want to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ today, I call on you to do so. Just repeat after me. You say, but Pastor, I'm already a believer. It doesn't matter. If you know that something that's been said today came across in your heart and challenged you and say, you know what, I need to change this, then do it right now. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I declare your words over my life. I believe that you are the truth. Your word is true. And therefore, right now, I repent of my dependence on the flesh, on my abilities, on my wisdom, on my understandings, what I think I know and have. And I look unto you now, author and finisher of my faith. Forgive me every sin. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Deliver me from every evil. I speak your name. I bow myself before your Lordship. And I say, Lord Jesus, be my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Deliverer. I receive you. Thank you for receiving me and forgiving me. In Jesus' name, I ask it. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, at this time, we're going to do two things. We're going to share in communion together. And secondly, we're going to honor God with our givings. If you are part of this family of saints and you've not been able to come to the house and you've not been faithful in your giving, I implore you by the mercies of God to please, for your own good, honor God with your giving today. Honor God with your tithe. Honor God with your offerings. Honor God with your vows. Just do the right thing today. And God will honor you because you honor him. Don't take that which belongs to God and give it to false gods. The false god of fear. The false god of, I need to save something so that if things get tough, I have something to solve that tough problem, that financial problem. If you do that, you're going to have so many tough problems, you will not have any way of coming out. Just honor God. Give to God what belongs to God, and God will honor you because you've honored Him. And the way to do so right now, if you're at home or watching by streaming or watching on YouTube or whatever, is to use those demarcations, donation at gloryandpeace.com. That's one way you can do it. Actually, I prefer that you do that. Donation at gloryandpeace.com, or you can do it at info@mikezenoministries.com. It will still go into the same account. You can send a check right through to the church here, and or come in person and drop it through the mail chute if you are not in a service. And I want to encourage those of you who have not been able to come, make time to come while all of this is happening. You know, we'll try to make room for you. I'm sure a brother, a sister who's been here every time since we've been here through this trying time will exchange seats with you and say, "You've not been in church all this time? Okay, take my seat and I'll go home and watch at home so you can have a seat today." I'm sure the nice saints in Glory and Peace Church who are listening at the overflow right now will trade places with you. So one person per family until the change takes place, until we flip around. Amen? All right? So let's do that. Let's honor God with our giving right now.